As always, though, it's always an honor to come before y'all and be able to speak for a few minutes. It's always a blessing. So you know how I do. Before we get started, y'all got to smile at me real quick. Make sure we're on the same page, because we're going to have a good time. It's going to be, you know, I'm not real long-winded, so we just going to hop right into it. I'm going to get my notes out, and before I do that, we'll go ahead and pray. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time we have to for a few minutes to spend in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I stand up here, Lord, that they don't see me, Lord, but that they see you, Lord, and that they're able to take the word that I speak today to them to be able to apply it and grow close to you, Lord God. And just help us all, Lord, to grow more, to be closer to you and be the men and women of God you have called us to be. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I'm gonna move this right here. Okay. So God is good. So when our pastor asked me a few weeks ago to speak before y'all, you know, he told me, you know, be praying, be thinking, be ready, right? So I'm in prayer, I'm thinking, and I promise y'all, nothing was coming. I mean, I was just like, golly, I mean, it's like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, 3 days, 2 hours. I'm kidding. Not that close, but it was just like, good gracious. Like, God, but it's like, so I found myself getting frustrated, getting anxious. I even had a sit down talk with a pastor who's also my uncle. And I had to rebuke the enemy, because the enemy was trying to really attack me about coming up here and just all these anxious thoughts and all these doubts. But I had to pray and push back against that, because I know that means God has something that he wants to do if the enemy wants to stop that. So eventually, God led me back to something that I spoke at men's prayer some months ago, earlier this year, and he gave me this, and originally I was like, God, I've already spoke this to the men. It's like, but he's like, well, first off, you know, everybody hasn't heard it. Two, ain't nothing wrong with hearing something again. And three, he gave me some more to add to it. So it's so men who've heard this before, it's the same, but it's like a little premium. You get a little extra. So what it was, what God gave me originally, early this year, might have actually been at the end of 2020, but he gave me this because we all know, I know we might not want to think about it too much, but 2020 was a bit of a challenging year. I could say probably safely that it caught most of us maybe a little bit for surprise. I don't think nobody expects a global pandemic out of nowhere. I didn't see that coming. So it was just like, it really made me evaluate myself. And it was like, yo, I don't feel like I was really prepared for something like this. You know, like when something big like this happens. So immediately what came to me was just like, you know, next time, not saying there's gonna be another pandemic, but like from when stuff like this happens, what's your game plan? And not just for maybe like something as big as that, but even something in your personal life, like whether that's a temptation that you're struggling with, whether you are facing a hard time, maybe you just lost your job, I don't know, whatever, maybe it's a financial thing, maybe if you're struggling with anxiety, maybe, I don't know, whatever it could be, maybe it's marriage, I don't know, whatever it could be, what is your plan to prepare yourself for when these attacks come? Because the enemy is going to try to attack you. That's not to scare you, but that's because he isn't intimidated by what God wants to do in your life. He's scared of you and what God is going to do through you. So he's going to try to throw attacks and doubt or whatever it is to keep you from fulfilling your godly purpose. So my question to you, what is your game plan day by day? What is your game plan for this year? And like, how do you, like, what's your game plan? And how do you prepare yourself going forward? An example I would like to use is I used to play basketball. If some of y'all didn't know, I played for Shiraw. And before a game, we would prepare for whoever we were playing. So we would practice, we would run plays, we would watch film, so we would be ready for our opponent. Now, if we just didn't practice, right, let's just say the whole week, we didn't practice, we was just chilling, and we went out there, let me think of a team, I'm gonna just say Marlboro County. We went out there and played Marlboro County. If we didn't practice for Marlboro County, which is like one of our biggest rivals, we would go out there and get our tails handed to us, probably by like 40. So we had, for teams like that, we had to prepare, we had to get ready, we had to watch film, and it's the same thing in our lives. We have to prepare and be ready for when things come. Or you can look at it like this. How many of y'all, like when a storm, like a snowstorm is coming, right? What's the first thing y'all do? Go to the store, and what do y'all go buy? Y'all go buy all the bread And all the milk don't make no sense at all. And eggs. Whatever y'all go ransack the store. People like me and my family who wait till last minute ain't got nothing to get. So, but all jokes aside, we do all that for like a half inch of snow, right? All that for a half inch of snow. But we do that to prepare ourselves for what's to come. So, okay, if the power gets knocked out, if the roads are slippery, we got salt, we got food, we got whatever we need to do to be prepared for this storm. So I said all that, used all those examples to lead me to 2 Timothy 3:10. And I'm be primarily reading from the New Living Translation tonight. So I'm also going to take my time. I've heard in the past that I kind of move a little fast with the scripture. I'm going to try to slow it down. So y'all work with me. But if everybody's there, give me a good old amen. Okay, that's good enough. That's majority. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to go through 10 through verse 17. I'm going to take my time, but I'm not going to rush through it. I'm going to stop a couple of times. But I'm going to start here. It says at verse 10, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted," and I pronounced these words before I came here, "Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra." I think I said that right. "But the Lord rescued me from it all." Verse 12, pay attention to this. "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Low-key, that's something like that. Young people say, low-key, that's not an exciting thing. It doesn't really sound too exciting, does it? Like, everybody who lives for Christ will suffer persecution. But, you know, if we're living for Christ and we're being persecuted for Christ, that's really not a bad thing. I know we don't want to go through these pains and these hardships of what comes for living for Christ, but I tell you what, I'd rather be persecuted for living for Christ and on the flip side of that being like, oh, not guilty for living for Christ because my life doesn't show it, right? So there will be, and Mr. Tony talked about this a few weeks ago, talking about the things that we may get ready to endure, but that's why we got to prepare for it. So moving on, verse 13, "But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived." Verse 14, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Verse 15, "You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." All right, pay attention to this. Verse 16, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do when we are right." Verse 17, this is the bit. "God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." To prepare and to equip. God's word is for us to prepare for whatever it is. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be worried because God has given us the tools and the things we need. We are equipped. We can walk in that. And I made some points based off this scripture. And it said, I put, "Living for Christ means we must be prepared to do endure persecution and suffering." We already have brothers and sisters in Christ already going through persecution in other countries and other places. We're really, really blessed. So let's not ever take that for granted, for once. We're really, really blessed. But we know as life goes on, we will, and we already kind of have some little small things that people try to push back against us, but they're not going to win. I know that's right. They're not going to win. I also put, "However, we must remain faithful to what the Word of God says so we can properly be prepared and guard our hearts." God's Word helps us to be able to understand and discern. Discernment, discernment, discernment. In a time like this, you have to stay in your word. You have to be willing to discern. I understand there's a lot of issues going on. There's a lot of things going on in this world that us Christians, we should care about, we should pray about. But you can't just hop on everything just because it sounds good or you're moved by your emotions. You're going to mess around and get, because the devil is deceptive. He slides stuff into stuff that doesn't look like it would be that big. You got to know what you're getting into, and you have to, that's why you have to stay in God's word. Discern before you just jump on whatever side, whatever bandwagon. You know what you're getting into. Be careful what you're listening to. God's word prepares us for what is to come. He shows us how we should work as well as what we should do in times of suffering. So I have 7 points for you tonight. And my first point is real simple. And it's our first act of preparation should be to get in God's word daily. And I know everybody, you know, for the most part knows that, but it's really, really important. Because it's not, I mean, it's like, oh yeah, we know that, but she's like, you really have to, I'm talking to me too, we really have to get in God's word daily. Because it's not always, for me, it's not always the easiest thing to do. It's not, that's the truth. Sometimes it's a lot easier to turn on TV and watch the news, or for me, watch basketball, football. There has literally, I'm being honest tonight, can I be honest? There has literally been times I'm laying in bed, like doing nothing. And I was like, you know, I should read my Bible. But my Bible all the way over there. And I'm just like, I'm doing absolutely nothing. I'm just like, I gotta get out of, y'all ever get that real comfortable position where you just ain't trying to move, you just, the pillow is right, you got it on the cool side, and it's just, I had to repent for that. But it's like, the devil will use whatever he can to keep us from touching that word. And that is, we have to get in there, we have to not just read it, because also, I'm gonna be more honest again, I used to be like, I'm gonna read a lot, that way God, you know, be proud of me, I'm gonna read a whole bunch today, and I read a whole bunch of stuff, and I was like, I don't know what the world I just read. So it's like, we can't just be reading it to say, oh, look, God, all right, we need to read, chew on it, digest it, and apply it. Don't be trying, if you can't read a lot right now, just take a little something, get you a little something. Stick with it. It's better to get you something and stick with it than to read the whole chapter of Genesis, and then you ain't got nothing, I'm just saying. So, but there's nothing wrong with that, because the Old Testament is good. I've been in the Old Testament, but let's get in God's word. That's what gives us our wisdom, the knowledge we need to prepare. Secondly, and this is another one that I'm sure everybody knows, is we need to, point number two, is put on the full armor of God daily. And I'm going to go to Ephesians 6:10. So if you turn with me there. Okay. Ephesians 6:10. Alrighty. Okay. Alrighty. Okay, this is not giving me the verse. See, technology, I tell y'all, bear with me one moment, please. I'm sorry. I had this in a completely different version. Y'all just bear with me. Alright, here we go. Alright. My cell phone came through for me. Alright. So Ephesians 6:10. What I'm gonna do is we're gonna go through and I'm gonna kind of break down the armor of God, because I always remember, I remember learning about the armor of God, but I never really had it broken down. It was always just like, oh yeah, you put on the helmet, you got the plate, you got the sword, I got the armor on. But what does like that even mean? Like, what is putting it on? Like, what is it? What does it mean? Breaking it down. So for me, I looked more into it because I wanted to understand it a little better myself. So here we go. Ephesians 6:10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and evil spirits in heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. So here's where I'm going to slow it down a little bit. Verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. So what is the belt of truth? Well, what I have here is we need to know and surround ourselves with truth, right? And where do we get truth from? Right, Tim. Right, Tim. And also surrounding myself with good, godly people who know the word as well. And in like the Romans, actually what the belts were for was to like holster and have their weapons. You who also knows this is our weapon as well, the word of God. But I thought this was interesting because the truth holds things together. As like belts, when we have on belts hold everything together. Has anybody in here ever told a lie? I know, because some of y'all in here, because if you ain't saying yeah, that means you're lying right now. I'm just keeping it real. I think all of us have told a lie at some point. I know all of us have told a lie at some point. But you know, lying, has anybody ever told a lie and then it's just like, you got to lie again to get that lie like better, and then you got to tell another lie, and then you in this whole basket of lies, And you just all over, everything is just all over the place. And it just comes back, and it's like, eventually you just have to tell the truth, or somebody finds out, and now you just look foolish. Because the author all this lying. Right? I've been there. So lying can't keep stuff together. Everything is eventually going to lead back to the truth. The truth holds everything together. Like, imagine if you didn't wear your belt. If you didn't wear your belt, what? Your pants is going to be trying to fall down. It'd be crazy, right? So the belt, just like we actually have a physical belt, the belt of truth helps us hold things together. Moving on, and then we must, I'm going to read that again. So stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, and the body armor of God's righteousness, which also can be referred to as the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, righteousness protects our hearts. So when we chase righteousness, when we pursue righteousness, we protect our heart from sinful things, from things we don't need to allow to get into our heart. When the soldiers wore those breastplates, they protected their heart, it protected their internal organs, which is the most important thing you need to really have protected, because anything here is pretty much immediate death. So think about that in the spiritual. We need to protect our heart and what we allow to get into our heart. We need to chase righteousness, protect ourselves. Chasing righteousness, we protect our heart from falling into sin and whatever else may try to throw itself at us. Amen. Moving on. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news that you will be fully prepared. I have here, walking in God's peace prevents us from worry, it prevents us from anxiety, or whatever that case may be. Peace is amazing, because peace, we can get peace in the hardest situations, in the lowest valleys, no matter what it is, God will give us peace, but we have to trust him and we have to walk in it. Peace is just a whole different, that's a supernatural thing. Peace is something, when you've lost someone you love, God can give you peace. When you've had a terrible day or whatever, God can give you peace. When you're nervous about something, God will give you peace. So we got to walk in that. We got to walk in that. We got to trust him in that, because that'll help us heal and grow. Amen. Moving on. So I'm going to read that again. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Romans 10:17 says, I'm going to just read this. Y'all don't have to go there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to get in God's word regularly to build and renew our faith. That goes right back to my first point. Faith protects us from the fiery weapons of the devil, which whatever that might be. Again, that can go back to worry. That can go back to doubt, temptation, or whatever. But we have to renew our faith. We can't expect to see things happen and grow in this if we don't have faith. This Christianity requires faith. Having a relationship with Jesus requires faith. I cannot see Jesus here right now, but you know what? I know who lives on the inside of me. That's faith. When you made the decision to give your life to Christ, that was a faith decision. So you have to continue to live by faith, because there's some days, y'all. I know y'all, some days, you'd be like, dog, God, where you at? You know, like, I've been like that before. It's like, yo, it's just like everything, one thing after another. But it's just like, you know, it's just like we sing that song, Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. That's faith. And in order to have that, you can't, because I felt that way before. I was like, why don't I feel like my faith? But it's like, maybe you haven't been in the Word as much as you're supposed to. Maybe you got to cut some stuff out, but I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to get there in a minute. But shield of faith, that protects us from the fiery darts of the devil. Moving on. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, our weapon. Or as they say it out here, you know, young people, our strap, right? Y'all ain't get that. That didn't, okay. Y'all could have just pretended to laugh. Okay, I'm sorry. So I said strap because that's the general term used for a weapon, but okay, moving on. Anyway, I won't use that one no more. Anyway, sword of the Spirit, that's our weapon. This is the word of God and our weapon against the enemy and temptations and troubles that may be thrown our way. This is our weapon against the enemy. All this stuff I've talked about, where it's worry, doubt, whatever the stuff that tries to get thrown at us, this is our weapon to combat that. And Pastor was just talking about how Jesus was tempted as he was fasting, or after he was fasting in the wilderness. And what did he use to combat the devil? He used the word of God. The devil even tried to use the word of God against him. But Jesus was like, man, I know the word of God, and threw it right back at him. That's what we got to do. I mean, he's sneaky. I ain't giving him a whole lot of credit, but he's going to try to, he's sneaky. But if you don't know this, what you going to do? You can't hit him. Just said it's not flesh and blood. You have got to know this. You can't go square up with the devil. You got to know your word. You have got, this is our weapon. So whenever that temptation is coming at you, throw him back some word. Whenever that worry is coming at you, you can throw some word back at him, and he has to flee from you. He has to. The devil don't want none of this. He don't. So you walk in that with confidence. That took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. But that's my breakdown. So put on the full armor of God daily. Amen. Moving on. I'm going to read this last part, because this actually kind of leads into my next point. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So my next point is, pray daily. Pray daily. Whether that be in your native tongue or praying in the Spirit, we need to pray daily. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm going to wait. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, everybody good? Okay. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. We got to pray. We got to talk to God. We got to give him thanks. We have to repent. We have to bring our worries and our cares to him. And then we also have to pray for each other. We have to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to pray for our pastor. We have to pray for our political leaders. We have to pray for our own spiritual leaders, or whatever the case may be. We have to pray. If you're looking for answers and you can't figure out what's going on, that's what you got to do. You got to go talk to God. Like, I'm like just keeping it serious, talking to God. And I'm not going to get too far in this, because I know Pastor's been talking about ministering on praying. But that's an important thing I had to look at, because sometimes I may get my word, but I may not necessarily feel like praying. But that is our connection to God, talking to God. God wants to hear us. He wants to know. He wants to hear our hearts. So moving on, I'm almost finished. This is what I was almost getting to earlier. Number 4 is removing any hindrances or distractions. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And it reads, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We should constantly be seeking out the things of God. And when doing that, we may have to remove some things that are wedging us away from God, wedging us away from that relationship. I don't know if that's less TV. I don't know if that's cutting some people out your life. Less time on your cell phones, me. Video games, me. Netflix, me. So it's just like, I'm up here, this for me too, y'all. So it's just like, whatever it may be, you know what may be hindering you from getting closer to Jesus, but it's like, you have to do that. You have to be one, because, like, again, the devil is deceptive. He will use those things that, see, there's nothing wrong with TV, you know, necessarily, or like Netflix or whatever, but if that's becoming something that's keeping you from getting your word and praying and growing, then that's a problem. That's when it becomes a problem. So do whatever you have to do. Whatever, because sometimes distractions can even bring fear, can bring doubt. What you're watching on TV, sometimes, I know this is not going to go everywhere, but you got to turn the news off. Sometimes you just got to turn the news off. I don't care which one you're watching. Just sometimes turn the news off. Because I don't even like watching. I don't even like watching the weather. They can't even get the weather right. So why am I going to listen to anything else? They telling me it's sunny on Tuesday, pouring down rain. Why would I listen to you? But I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the news. But I'm just saying sometimes just we gotta know what we're getting too much of, because a lot of times there's a lot of fear and a lot of, you can even become depressed by some of the stuff you see. And I'm not just talking about political news, I'm talking about even local news, all the stuff we hear every single day. So remove those distractions. Moving on to number 5, which is a really, really big one, is self-evaluation. We must evaluate ourselves daily. We must evaluate our lives, where are we at with God? We have to be honest with ourselves. We actually have to sit down and say, okay, where am I at? Where can I grow? Because in that quiet time where you're reading and praying, God will reveal things about you that you may need to improve in. Because that's what we need. So we have to self-evaluate. And I have, if you would, turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read verse 5. Actually, I think I'm going to read this too in the Amplified version. Because I like the way that one was. So it says, test and evaluate yourselves to see where you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me, or do you not recognize this about yourselves by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as a counterfeit. I want to go back to the top, though. It says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. And it says, examine yourselves. We have to examine ourselves daily. We have to take that time. Nobody likes to point the finger at themselves. Let's just be honest. Nobody. It is so much easier to point at somebody else. A perfect example. So people in Sherrall cannot drive. I declare they cannot. I'd be like, what are y'all doing? God, have you only blessed me with the ability to drive? Like, that's how I be feeling sometimes. And it's so quick to point the other finger, but then next thing you know, oh, shoot, I'm looking at my phone, or I'm doing this, that, and the third, or, oh, I almost did this, that, whatever. So it's easy. That's just one situation. It's easy to point the finger, but we have to point the finger at ourselves sometimes. Okay, moving on. I'm coming up on my last two. And these are ones that are really, really important, because these are really important when in this preparation is, and number six is to remain joyful. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So turn with me real quick to James chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. In our toughest situations, in our daily struggles, and whatever it is, it's an opportunity for us to, like, count it all joy. Yeah. To still have joy, because that is a slap in the devil's face. When the devil is trying to get you down and get you angry, or whatever the case may be, and you still just like, you know what, I'm going to remain joyful, I'm going to still rejoice. Because all this goes back to all the other points I mentioned. When we go through these things, it gives us a chance to grow. It builds our endurance. But we can only do that through reading God's word, through spending time with him, through praying, through self-evaluating. It all goes back. It all works together. So remain joyful. You don't have to be, you don't have to fret. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. We can remain joyful in whatever our situation is. And last point, and I really, really, really love this one. That's why I know God was added this one. My last one, number seven, is remain hopeful. And turn with me to Romans 8:18. Yes, ma'am, remain hopeful. Romans 8:18. And remain hopeful. I heard somebody out there here. It's remain hopeful. And in Romans 8:18 it says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. And in the New King James Version, it says reveal in us later. That is encouraging. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, yet what we suffer now is nothing, nothing compared to the glory he will reveal in us later. Everything we've been through, everything we suffered, all that won't even compare to what God has for me, for you. So I encourage you to remain hopeful in these times where things are tough. We have a pandemic, we got all the politicians and whatever, all kinds of stuff is going on, people killing each other, it's just a mess. I was in Dairy, people was about to fight in Dairy Queen, y'all. I was just in there trying to get some food, and people about to fight in Dairy Queen over some french fries, because her french fries was soggy. I was just like, it's just a mess. And sometimes it's just like, it can be really, really just saddening to see stuff like that. But we can remain hopeful that in anything you go through, God has something. He's going to reveal to us the glory he has for us. Is just nothing compared to what we go through. So I encourage y'all to prepare yourselves for any and everything, not fearfully, but confidently, and just count it all joy and remain hopeful. And that's it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, give God praise for his word. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God has an answer for everything we face.